Shalom, everyone. So, Be'emet, Rav Ovadia Yosef, I think it's a bit of a crime just to give him 45 minutes or an hour. I think that really he deserves a year. Aval maybe just mamash the tip of the ice to talk a bit, to get to know tiny bit about Rav Ovadia Yosef. And I think the most interesting fact is that both of his names is Ovadia and Yosef. It's not his surname. His name was Ovadia, and when he was born, his parents gave him the name Ovadia after the rabbi Rav Ovadia Abdallah Somech. So that why Ovadia and Yosef for Rav Ben Ish Chai, Rav Yosef Chaim, and that's why the name Yosef. So Bichlal, he didn't use his surname, which is very interesting fact. But I'm going to go ahead and share with you the presentation that I've prepared for today. Here we go, and we're going to try and get to know just a tiny bit about Rav Ovadia Yosef, if I'll ever be able to. Okay. No, this one. This toolbar. Okay, here we go. That's easier like that. Here we go. So, Rav Ovadia Yosef, this is a picture of Rav Ovadia Yosef from the age that he went to Egypt. Right before he went to Egypt, they did a whole like a departing goodbye farewell for him. He's around the age of 40 here. And this is his picture. As Rav Ovadia Yosef, he was born in Baghdad in Iraq, and he came to Israel with his family, with his parents and his sister at the age of 4. He was 4 when he came to Israel. Both his parents were very poor. The family that he grew up in was very, very poor, and he had to go out and work at the age of 10. But even though he worked at the age of 10, he always loved learning Torah. And then from a very early, his first writing of Torah, he wrote a commentary on Sefer Bereshit at the age of 9. And already he was known to be an Ilui. So the rabbi of the yeshiva came to his dad, came to his father, and told him, "Listen, this boy, even though you're very poor and you need to work, this boy is special. You have to send him to learn Torah." And that's how Rav Ovadia found himself in the first yeshiva. And then later on, he continued to the other yeshiva. He was the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, and then later on, the chief rabbi of all of Israel, Sephardi rabbi of all of Israel. The Ashkenazic rabbi was Rav Shlomo Goren. And he was the Sephardi rabbi, Rav Ovadia Yosef, from the age 73 to 83. He established the political movement of Shas, Shomrei HaMasoret, the keeper of the tradition. He was known, well known as to be the Posek, meaning even if you were not from Baghdad, a lot of people have asked him questions and read his book and learn his books. And he wasn't just a specific rabbi for the people who came from Iraq. He was the main Sephardi rabbi, in my eyes, the Gdol Hador of our generation. And a lot of people are poskim, according to him, Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. So just some of his books, Hilchot Olam. So that was the first book that Rav Ovadia wrote. It started from a shiur that he gave in a shul in Yerushalayim. And he started giving a shiur at a very early age of 20-something, mamash early. He was married at 24 to Margalit. And he gave a shiur in the shul in Shchunat HaBukharim. And in this shiur, it was a halachic shiur, halachic class. He brought the Ben Ish Chai because that was the Sephardi ruling that everyone went according to, was according to the Ben Ish Chai. And he said what the Ben Ish Chai said. And then he started arguing with the Ben Ish Chai, and he started saying why he thinks that he disagree with the Ben Ish Chai and how does he think that the ruling should be. The fact that he felt at the age of 20 something that he can speak against or give a different halachic opinion than the Ben Ish Chai caused a lot of tension within Sephardi rabbis, and a lot of them came to him and told him, Rav Ovadia, with all due respect, you can't disagree on a Ben Ish Chai. You can disagree on someone within your generation, your age, but you can't disagree on the Ben Ish Chai. And he said, no, I disagree. Ben Ish Chai, his ruling is going according to Ha'ari, according to Kabbalah. If you remember, like we spoke about the Shiur and the Ben Ish Chai, and I think that we should rule according to the Shulchan Aruch. And that's why I talking against the ruling of the Ben Ish Chai. And Rav Ataya, which was the head of his yeshiva, told him, Rav Ovadia, don't worry about all the people that are talking against you right now. Sit and write down. And he encouraged him to speak his mind and to develop halachic set of mind, even though it's against a Ben Ish Chai. And that's how the first book of Ilchot Olam came to life. Rav Ovadia sat and disagreed with the Ben Ish Chai. He basically took the book of the Ben Ish Chai and wrote paragraph after paragraph. What does he think? How the ruling, the halachic ruling should be against the Ben Ish Chai. He wrote Yabia Omer and Yahveh Da'at. Yabia Omer is more of a sefer for Lamdanut, meaning a lot of discussion, halachic arguments, and he's bringing all, it's very interesting, but it's a book that it's more for a yeshiva kind of learning. Chazon Ovadia, which is Shabbat, holidays, and it's a very good book. I love it because it's a book that it's very easy to look into. It's short. It's Psak Halacha. It's like a few lines. You open in Shabbat, you have a question, you take the book out, you open it, and it's very easy to find your answer in it. And it's not like something that you need to take into yeshiva and sit and learn. Anaf Etzavot, it's about Mishnah Pirkei Avot. Maor Israel, it's Gemara. Yalkut Yosef is actually by Rav Yitzchak Yosef. It's by Rav Yitzchak Yosef. Rav Yitzchak Yosef, but Rav Ovadia at the beginning was mamash part of writing the book, and he agreed and went over everything that Rav Yitzchak wrote. And this is Yalkut Yosef. We're going to talk about what's Yalkut Yosef today and what happened to the books of Rav Ovadia Yosef today after Rav Yitzchak, but I'm going to get into it. Halacha Brura, it's by his other son, Rav David Yosef, but also together with Harav Ovadia, meaning still in the days that Rav Ovadia was alive. And he, of course, won a lot of prizes, the Israeli Pras HaChinuch, and all kinds of recognition from the state for all of his writing and all of his contribution to the learning world, to the halakha world of Israel. This is the picture of Rav Ovadia's father. This is Rav Ovadia's father. This is Rav Ovadia. This is his Adina. I don't know if you know his, no, it's not Adina, it's his sister and his brother. Later on, I have also a picture of Adina. Before we're moving to the next slide, I want to show you the book that I have here. I brought it to show you. I don't know if you can see it here. So I have here, it's called Taharat HaBayit. And I want to tell you a story about this book. It's called Taharat HaBayit. You see, this is the second part. It has two parts. And it's a book by Rav Ovadia. This book specifically, it's from the house of Rav Ovadia and has a very good story to it. So I want to show you here. So when I started learning Hilchot Tahara in my kollel, our rabbi said, listen, there's a book that you have to have. It's the book by Rav Ovadia Yosef, but you have to find the book in between the years. And he gave us specific years. And he said, Taharat HaBayit, you can go to every bookstore in Israel and you will find Taharat HaBayit, but it will be from the second edition. I want you to find the first edition. When we asked why, our rabbi, Rav Reich, explained that after Rav Ovadia passed away, his son, Rav Yitzchak, took out Taharat HaBayit from all the stores, rewrote everything that Rav Ovadia wrote, and took it out in a second edition in Taharat HaBayit. So all the things that Rav Ovadia hekel in Tahara, his son Hichmir, like he wrote against it. And therefore, there are two additions to Taharat HaBayit. I understood that I have to get the book, so I went on a scavenger hunt. And at the end, I couldn't find it. It was very hard. I went to Mea She'arim, to all the bookstores, to all the places that women are not supposed to be at. And at the end, I found the grandson, the oldest grandson of Rav Ovadia Yosef, Harav Ben Zion Shalom. I gave him a call and I said, listen, you don't know me. My name is Shira. And I'm really looking for the book, Taharat HaBayit, but in between the years and the first edition, it has to be the first edition. So Rav Ben Zion asked me, who told you that you have to have the first edition and not the second edition? I told him, it's my rabbi, I'm learning Tara. And he told us that this is what you need. So he said, you know what? Come over to my house. Let's talk. And I took my daughter and we went over to his house and I sat there for a couple of hours and I spoke to him. He asked me a lot of questions about halakha. I think he wanted to understand. I told him that I was learning halakha and he needed to understand what exactly I'm learning and what am I doing. And I think I've succeeded to convince him because he gave me his own book. And these are the book that I'm not letting my kids touch, look or smell. It's mamash, something that I mamash keep very close. So he gave me his personal books and he told me, listen, you can't find these books because Rav Yitzchak did a very good job. My uncle, Rav Yitzchak, did a very good job by taking out all of the books that Rav Ovadia wrote. And you can't really find the first edition. Only a few people in the family have the first edition. I'm going to give you mine and I'm going to get myself a different set. So Bizchut, it's a huge privilege, I feel, to have the books of Mamash, the family of Rav Ovadia, of his grandson. And Bizchuto, I'm able to answer so many questions in halakha. Only last week, someone came over to my house and I gave her an answer. And she said, really, it sounds really, you sure that I can do that? You sure it sounds Mamash? I'm not really sure about it. And I told her, listen, let's open the book. And I took out Rav Ovadia, I took out that book and I showed her inside what Rav Ovadia is writing. And I told her, listen, you don't have to, but know that if you want to go according to my answer, you have someone to count on and you have Rav Ovadia to count on. Don't count on me, count on Rav Ovadia. And once she saw it in the book, it made her feel much more comfortable and she went with it and Baruch Hashem, the results were good. So that's what I wanted to share with you, the story of my personal book. And what I want, Behemet, there's so many things to talk about Rav Ovadia. I've decided to focus on two main, I think, in my eyes, two main points in the rulings, in the halachic rulings of Rav Ovadia. One is Koach De'etera, and one is Psika De'svara. So these are the two things that I want to talk to you about, and I want to show you from his writing. The first makor that I want to bring to you is from Rav Dr. Benny Lau. Rav Dr. Benny Lau wrote his doctorate, his PhD, about Rav Ovadia Yosef. Look, there's a beautiful picture here that I've put. This is Rav Benny Lau together with Rav Ovadia Yosef. He spent hours and hours. Rav Ovadia led him in to be part of private conversations, of hours that he sat and wrote his books. And Rav Benny was sitting there like a fly on the wall, watching and documenting Rav Ovadia and talking to Rav Ovadia about his halachic rulings, about his halachic thought. And Behemet, he wrote a beautiful book that he, after his PhD, he also took it out as a book that you can read. I find it very interesting. It's in Hebrew. So if you want, you're more than welcome. And I wanted to give you a little quote from Rav Benny Lau about Rav Ovadia. This next few lines I'm writing in the night of the Yahrzeit of Rav Ovadia. I had the privilege of watching him work. I saw him meeting with the reality in his room where he was busy nights as day to create the connection between Shamayim Va'aretz, between heaven and earth. So what is the role of a rabbi in Israel? One role of a rabbi is giving out the, like the tradition, to pass down the tradition from Har Sinai through Moshe all the way to the Chachamim that we have in our generation today. The rabbi is continuing as much as he can the process of discovering Hashem in the world, and whatever Moshe had on the Torah Sheba'al Peh. Hatiur hazeh, this description, is very much well known from rabbis, and this is how they describe from Bavel. This is how they describe the role of a rabbi. The Mishnah said, Moshe kibel Torah misinai, mesara liyoshua, yoshua laskenim, skenim lenevi'im, nevi'im mesura lanshei knesset agdola. Meaning it's going down the lines, v'ishtalshel ze ad shehegia elenu, and it's coming down, the Torah is coming down all the way till it came to us. Hare ha-yeshiva hi mekom Moshe Rabbeinu, uva tushlam dat Yisrael, kol mi shecholek aleha, hare hu cholek al Adon HaTorah. You can't disagree, because if you're disagreeing, then you're disagreeing on Moshe Rabbeinu. And you can't disagree with Moshe Rabbeinu because Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Torah. But there is another, Rabben continued to write, there is another aspect to the figure of the rabbi that he needs to sit not just on the chair of Moshe Rabbeinu, but he also needs to sit and to take the role of Aharon HaKohen. That the role of Aharon HaKohen in the world was to love the peace and to chase after the peace, to love the creatures, all the human beings, and to bring them closer to Torah. So it's not only to be Moshe Rabbeinu and to be the teacher of Halakha, but it's also to be Aharon HaKohen. And that means to love every Jew and to bring them closer to Torah. Those two tasks, those two mesimot of the rabbi, it's not just a great vort, but it's a perception that says that the Rav, this is what he needs to do, and this is what he should aim to do. The ratzon, the wish to be closer to what Hashem has told us, and to give this Torah to the land or to the people in the land, this is Moshe Rabbeinu, to be the teacher of Halakha, this is being like Moshe Rabbeinu. But the wish to be, to bring all of Am Yisrael together, and to unite all of Am Yisrael, all of the Shvatim, this is like Aharon HaKohen. And this connection between all of the generations and the wish to bring everyone together, this is what you do when you posek halakha. As much, ככל שפוסק הלכה מתקרב אל הכרת הצורך ושמיעת צעקת הכאב, the more that someone that is giving the psak is able to hear the shout and the sorrow of the someone who is suffering, then he will have more motivation to look into the halakha until he will find an answer. That doesn't create Torah into something that you can mold, but the parshanut, meaning the way that you can interpretate Torah, is expanding, and you can, and it allows the person to find space that can bring the gap between the pure halakha and between the reality, to make the gap smaller, meaning the job or the motivation of the posek halakha should be to listen to people who are in trouble, to people that are in pain, and to be able to do everything that he has in his ability in the halakha in order to make the reality and the halakha closer. So what is the motivation? Why is there a rabbi that will be obsessed about one topic and he wouldn't care about the other topic? The answer is very subjective. Hametziut, the reality, and meeting the reality is what gives motivation to the rabbis. And now he's referring us to the Taz. I'm not gonna go into the Taz. Aval, he's bringing examples from the life of Rav Ovadia Yosef. I'm trying to move. Ken, he's bringing example to the life of Rav Ovadia Yosef. As an example, I'm going to bring the Rav Kook. About Rav Kook was objected, and this is becoming very relevant now that Bezrat Hashem Shnat Shmita is coming near, and it's about to start here in Israel. It's already becoming a discussion about, I don't know if you're Israelis or if you had the opportunity to hear about the ruling of the rabbi of Tzahal, the chief rabbi of IDF, just gave a ruling that all of the IDF next year during the year of Shemitah won't be using they're not going to be using products from outside of Israel. I don't know if you understand how mind-blowing that is. What basically he's saying that in all the army, they're going to use products from Shemitah that will have Kedushat Shvi'it, and that they will have to deal with Kedushat Shvi'it in army base in Israel. Most of the people in the army base are not religious, so it's a very controversial ruling. And Bichlal, the whole idea of
Oh, I
Shemitah
like
and
that. I don't
the whole
like the
idea
way
of
Satan
Shemitah and
manipulates
Heter Mechira, it's
people.
very controversial also today, but it already started many years ago when Rav Kook was against the Heter Mechira. He came to Yafo, Rav Kook came to Yafo, and he acknowledged the need of the people to use the Heter Mechira, and he still was against it. And then Rav Kook is writing that Shmuel the prophet was just a combination of Moshe, which Moshe describes the teaching of the halacha, and Aharon, that Aharon is resembling the love and the unity of Am Israel. Moshe ve'Aharon bekohanav, Shmuel bekorei shmo, kol Shmuel ke'Moshe ve'Aharon. Shmuel was the prophet that was able to do both, to be both the law and the grace together in one person. He was so attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Bekitzur, this is what he's saying, but now he wants to talk about Rav Ovadia Yosef. Aaron was it was very important for him to have the peace and to chase the peace and to make sure that everyone are in peace together in Am Israel. Shmuel HaNavi also was together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and together with people. And this is like the ideal that we see in Shmuel HaNavi, that he has within himself both Moshe and Aaron. So Rav Benny Lau is saying, in all of our reality of our life, it can't be either or. You can't be either Moshe or Aharon. You have to be somewhere in the scale in between Moshe ve'Aharon. Kol mi shebachar be'avodat HaKodesh, whoever chose to be a rabbi, needs to know where he puts himself in between Moshe ve'Aharon. Some are closer to Moshe, and some are closer to the world of Aharon. Yachid bedoro haya Rav Ovadia Zatzal. Rav Ovadia is very unique and special in the fact that he hetzliach leshalev betzura muflaa et haolamot, that he was able to combine both these worlds, the world of Moshe and the world of Aaron. Liot moser dvar Hashem ba'olam ve'belibo nasa et kol dma'ot bnei Israel. On one hand, he was the great teacher of halacha. He renew halacha. He spoke halacha. He wrote halacha. He taught halacha. But on the other hand, he held in his heart all the tears of Am Israel. He was not blind to the suffering of the people. This is Rav Benny and Rav Ovadia. What a zchut Rav Benny had. Amazing. And now this is a story. In the house of Rav Ovadia in Har Nof, in the late afternoon, Haram just got up from a nap, and I was waiting in the next room in order to get from him another hour of talking about whatever I was writing. All of the sudden, there was a great noise. Dozens of family from one of the cities in the south came into the room of Rav Ovadia Yosef. They were standing there together, all of these people, with great excitement. Rav Benny is saying, I couldn't understand what the fuss was all about until the Mishamish, the Ozer of the assistant rabbi of Rav Ovadia, Rav Yitzchak Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Chakak, he explained to me. In that morning, Harav gave a psak to that family. The mother of the family, an 80 years old woman, came to Israel from France as a widow from Second World War. Here in Israel, she got married again after the war, and she built a house with kids and grandkids, all religious, all learning Torah, very well-known family. And all of a sudden, it was they found out that the first husband from the war was not really dead. And meaning they actually, someone saw him, someone met him in Europe. It was a story that it seems to be only happening in Agnon. I don't know if you know it from Agnon in Ha'Yaakov Lemishor, meaning it could only be a story written by the greatest novel. But according to Halakha, all of the family are mamzerim, and it's a huge tragedy. I don't know if you can even try and imagine for a family, especially a religious family, that they're just finding out that all of them and their grandkids and everyone, they're all mamzerim, because the mom was actually married when she married her second husband. She didn't know, but it doesn't change anything according to Halakha, because she was married. She was Eshet Ish. הרב עובדיה נכנס לאובי הקורה, הרב עובדיה took the case, ולאחר עבודה מאומצת של דרישות וחקירות, and after a great deal of work of investigation, עדויות, taking testimonies, והצלבות מידע, and doing cross knowledge, הוא שחרר אותם מאיסורם. He decided, and he gave them a פסק, that they are not ממזרים. לא כאן המקום לתאר את אופי השחרור ודרך העבודה שלו. I can't tell you how he did it and how. It's not the place to tell. But I am going to explain to you, Rav Benny, saying the excitement of the family that are coming to thank the rabbi. They him atfu oto bedmaot. They wrapped him in tears. There was no dry eye in the room. And this is where my story begins. After they left, I stayed with Rav Uvadia, quietly in the room. He held my hand and he told me very softly, "Can you feel my hand? It's wet. It's wet. Have you seen their tears? Have you seen the tears of the people? Ha'ashukim." I don't know how to translate ashukim. The people that someone did them wrong. Can you feel the tears of the people that they've been wrong? Someone did them wrong. Ve'az bli shum hachana, without preparation, הרים את קולו, he started shouting, ואמר בלשונו את המדרש, and he recited, he said the midrash about ממזרים. ראיתי את דמעות השוקים, אלו הממזרים. I have seen the tears of the people that they have done them wrong, and these are the ממזרים. מי אשכן אלה? Who did them wrong? סנדרין, שדנו אותם בדין תורה. The person or the people who did wrong by those people, by the mamzarim, are not the family, are not the society, are not the community. Sanhedrin, then they have done wrong because they gave them the psak that they are mamzarim. Ve'en lahem menachem, they don't have someone to comfort them. Ani enachmam, I will comfort them. Ze haya rega nadir, it was a very rare moment. Echad b'chaim, once in a lifetime. לאחוז בידו של האדם, to hold the hand of a person, החש במלוא העוצמה, who feels with all the intensity, the responsibility that he have, את האחריות שלו לאנשים, to the people, שדין תורה עלול היה לגזור את חייהם לגיהנום. תורה, or people in the name of Torah, might rule those people to gehenom, ממש to hell. If they would have decided that these people are all mamzerim, all this family, all the kids, all the people that they have married, all their kids, the grandkids, that could have been hell for them. And because he felt such great responsibility, he turned himself into a shield and he decided to help them. And I think that more than everything, I'm going to bring you now shutim and things that Rav Ovadia wrote, and I'm going to try to explain his psikat halakha. But more than anything, I want to try and explain or try and share with you that there was a rabbi here that, in addition to him being brilliant and having memory that like no other man, and being able to write like no other man, and being able to be brave and to speak halacha and to be a brave posek halacha, in addition to that, he was very sensitive. And he was able to look at the people, and he was able, He wasn't able to look aside when someone was crying. And I think that's something that we all need to admire in a rabbi. That's a drawing by Raz Ben Ari that he drew Rav Ovadia here in the middle and all the family thanking him. There was a ceremony of kollel of men that finished learning halacha, and this is what Rav Ovadia told them. It is very important that there will be a rabbi shifsok al pi halacha. You need to give a psak according to halacha. Velo rak al kol davar asur v'asur. You don't have to say about everything, this is forbidden, and this is forbidden, and this is forbidden. Rak lemi shelomed Torah k'ra'ui. Only if you properly learn Torah, you'll have the ability, yelecha koach, you'll have the power, the ability, lehatir kshehalacha achen matira. You'll have the ability to say, this is allowed, when halacha is allowing it. Zehu koach deheter adif. And this is why, this is koach deheter adif, the power of the ability to say, this is allowed. Tamshichu lilmod, you have to keep on learning. Tamshichu leayen, you have to keep on doing research. Hakol talui bashkida uvatmada. Everything is dependent on your ability to sit and to learn Torah and to keep on learning Torah. And I think that's one thing that is very important when you talk about Rav Ovadia, is to understand that Rav Ovadia said it in many times, many ways, and he kept on saying it's not allowed. Every yeshiva student, yeshiva bucher in the first year can say, this is not allowed, this is not allowed, this is not allowed. But a great rabbi, a rabbi that really knows Torah, will find the way, will find the halachic way to say where it is allowed. And that's the smart way to do it, to find within halacha koach deitera, the power to find where it is allowed in halacha. Lo, slicha, I didn't mean to do that. That's the picture of the rabbi, but that's not what I meant. Here. Slicha. Okay. So I don't know how much time we have, but in the short time that we have, the first topic that I want to talk to you about is the whole topic of Tahara. I'm bringing it not only because I think it's very important, and it's something that I deal with a lot, because a lot of the questions that I get are questions in Taharat HaMishpacha, not only, but a lot of them. And I think that it's very, very important. And I think most people don't understand that there is a huge difference between asking a rabbi that is posek according to Rav Eliyahu, and in between asking a rabbi that is posek in the way or according to the way or according to the hashkafa of Rav Ovadia Yosef. There is a huge difference between them. And not only because of koach svara, not only because Rav Ovadia is posek from svara and not from Kabbalah. The main difference is, and I show you, I brought to you here, this is from the preview to the book of Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. It's from the Hakdama. I want to tell you that when I got married 20 years ago, that was the only book of Taharat HaMishpacha that there used to be in Hebrew. And that was the book that everyone learned, Ashkenazi, Sfaradi, doesn't matter. This is what you learn before you get married. And I'll have to tell you, it's a very scary book. Throughout the book, it says a lot, deoraita, karet, karet, deoraita. And for me, as a young kala, it was a very sensitive. I got out from reading the book, I got a bit scared. And I want to give you an example. This is from the preview of Rav Eliyahu to his book of Darkei Tahara. And this is what he says. Isur nida, כמוהו כאיסור עריות, שיש בהם דין יהרג ובל יעבור. Meaning, the Rav Eliyahu is putting the whole topic, the whole halachic topic of tahara, of nida, is putting it under the umbrella of arayot. And arayot, nachon, as we all know, there are three things that you should kill yourself and not do. Nachon, avodah zara, nachon, gilui arayot, v'shfichut damim. These are the three things. You shouldn't murder anyone. You shouldn't sleep with someone from your family or someone that you're relative to. All the topics of halachot of arayot. And you shouldn't work avodah zara. And you shouldn't practice avodah zara. So Rav Eliyahu is putting the whole topic, halachic topic, of nida, of taharat ha-mishpacha, under the umbrella of arayot. So arayot, obviously, he sees it as very, very severe. Meaning, it's yihareg uval yavor. Chamur isur ze kamuskar bazohar hakadosh. It is very severe. The whole isurim of nida are very, you have to be very careful about them, because it says so in the Zohar, from the Kabbalah, that a person that brings upon himself tum'ah, impurity, it sticks to him. Nachon, this is the Kabbalic way of looking at impurity. If you are impure, it's something that sits on you. And the Gemara, and he's like going, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but what I wanted to show you, isur nida mita yeshba, meaning everything that has to do with taharat ha-mishpacha, the danger of taharat ha-mishpacha is because the psak is, the punishment for that is mita, is death. Karet yeshba, not just death in this world, but in the afterlife as well. Nitma'im ha'ish v'ha'isha, both the man and the woman are getting impured. Mistaleket mehem ha'shchina, there will be no shchina in between them. Metam'im kivyachol et ha'shchina, not only that they are impure and they not going to have shchina in their home, but also shchina is getting impure because of them. Kama tzarich adam le'chared ve'lefached, how much a person should be scared and be careful שלא יבוא לידי being careful about הלכות טהרה. So just by reading the preview to the book of Rav Eliyahu, באמת, it's a very scary one. And then let's look at Rav Ovadia and his view this is from the book that I showed you, that I have, טהרת הבית. Rav Ovadia book about Taharat HaMishpacha. And this is what he says in his preview. Hine HaGaon, Rabbi Yosef Chaim, בספרו הבן איש חי, and here I'm telling you that the Ben Ish Chai כתב בדינים אלו, he's writing, the Ben Ish Chai is writing about those dinim, those laws of Taharat HaMishpacha, מההלכות הנחוצות והמצויות ביותר. This is the most important הלכות that we have. It's everywhere. It's all of the time, it's throughout our life. These are very essential halachot. Ach marnihu rabba chasadain milia katav harbe dvarim lachmir. But the problem that I have is that the Ben Ish Chai is writing about a lot of things that we need to be harsh about them, lachmir. Ve'en lomar shebedine nida sheyesh ba isur karet, yesh lachmir. So it's true that the punishment in the Torah about nida is karet, but the fact that it's karet, it doesn't mean that we have to be so harsh about it. And it doesn't mean that we have to be even more harsh than Maran. When Maran, Harav Ovadia, writes about Maran, he's referring to Shulchan Aruch, to Rabbi Yosef Karo. So basically what Rav Ovadia is saying here, first, and then he's going to write some more. I feel bad about the time. כמו שכתבו כמה מרבותינו האחרונים לגבי איסור ערווה חמורה, זה אינו. He's saying, first of all, this is not part, all of דיני טהרה, it is not part of עריות. He's taking it out of the category, under the umbrella that Rav Eliyahu puts it, and he says, it's not part of עריות, it's part of איסור ויתר. It's either forbidden or allowed. It's either אסור or mutar, but it's not arayot, it's not yehareg uval yavor. It's true that the punishment in the Torah is karet, okay, and it's very severe, and you should be serious about it, okay, but you shouldn't be more severe than the Shulchan Aruch, meaning, according to Rav Ovadia, you should go according to Shulchan Aruch. Whenever Rabbi Yosef Karo, הנה, שהעיקר כדברי האחרונים שכתבו להדיה, שאנו קיבלנו הוראות מרן גם בדיני נידה אפילו להקל. Meaning, we should go according to Shulchan Aruch. If Shulchan Aruch is saying, you should do something, it's not allowed, then it's not allowed. But if Shulchan Aruch is writing, it is allowed, then it is allowed. And you shouldn't do something more severe than the Shulchan Aruch. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu will say, when Shulchan Aruch is saying it is not allowed, it's truly not allowed. But when Rav Yosef Karo, when Shulchan Aruch is saying it is allowed, Rav Eliyahu will say it is not allowed. You should be more severe than the Shulchan Aruch. Come Rav Ovadia and says, no, you shouldn't listen to Ben Ish Chai. You shouldn't listen to Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, who's posek according to the Ben Ish Chai, because they are going according to the Zohar, because they are going against the Shulchan Aruch. And whenever the Shulchan Aruch is saying about something that it is allowed, Rav Eliyahu and Rav Ben Ish Chai will say that it's not allowed. And I'm telling you, says Rav Ovadia Yosef, it's okay. Whatever Shulchan Aruch is telling you, you can do according to the Shulchan Aruch. You shouldn't do more severe than the Shulchan Aruch. And he goes on, there's a footnote to that. That's from the footnote. I don't have the time because I want to talk a bit more. If you want, I think you have it in your Dapei Mekorot, in your source sheet.
Shira, just if I know we started a few minutes late. So if you want to go to like 1207, 1208 or so, that's okay. Yeah. You know, a few minutes late, we'll have a little, we'll still get a few minute break before Rabbi Israel's class. So you can go a few minutes over.
Toda Rabba. So toda for the extension. I hope you're with me and I hope you find it as interesting as I do. I don't know if you noticed, but it's mamash in my, I'm passionate about it. And I want to tell you why I'm. You noticed? And I want to share with you why I'm passionate about it. If that's okay with you. Tell me if it's too much. I want to share with you. I had a couple in my community that got married a bit late, at the age of 30, and not at the age of 20, like religious Israelis. Okay, they got married at the age of 30, and they really wanted to have kids. And they both Ashkenazim, and they went according to, I'm not going to say, rabbis in Israel, something that they didn't even understood that this institution is going according to Rav Eliyahu, that Rav Eliyahu is going according to the Ben Ish Chai, that the Ben Ish Chai is going according to Kabbalah. They didn't even know that. I think most people in Israel that are keeping halakha, they don't understand that. So they went according to that institution for several years. They were asking questions and they gave them guidelines of tried to help them to get pregnant. And it didn't work for a couple of years. After a couple of years, mamash in a personal conversation that I had with the woman, and we started talking and she started crying. And I told her, but why are you doing this chumrah? You don't have to do it. I mean, if you're married for 20 years and you want to take on yourself chumrot, even then I'll say no. But never mind. Why aren't you going according to Shulchan Aruch? Kilu, you can just do something that will be such as, you don't have to go to a complicated fix to start taking hormones and to start getting treatments. And wait, before you do something so kilu invasive, try the simple fix going according to Shulchan Aruch. And I'm not chas v'chalila telling you here something that is, you know, reform. I'm saying something very, very halachic, very simple. Just go according to Shulchan Aruch. You have someone to count on. And I told her, and I know that you're Ashkenazi, but you can also go according to Rav Ovadia Yosef. And I showed her the book and I opened and I showed her whatever I was the issue. And I told her, listen, you have someone to count on. You can count on Rav Ovadia. Don't worry. And it took some time. Baruch Hashem, she's due in a month. That's all I have to say. Baruch Hashem, she's due in a month. And not with hormones and not with invasive treatments in the hospital like they were headed. So I think, lehachmir, sometimes it's people look at it as something that is more religious, that it's a higher being righteous more than. And sometimes I think that if you're trying to be even more religious in the wrong way, it's creating a imbalance in halakha that it's incorrect. And that's why, especially in Ilchot Tahara, I think Be'emet Rav Ovadia should be the Bible. And I think that if Rav Ovadia is saying that it's allowed, we should go according to Rav Ovadia, even if you're Ashkenazi or you're Sfaradi, because Rav Ovadia is going according to Shulchan Aruch. And I think that today in Israel, that Baruch Hashem, we have so many people coming to Israel and so many people from all over, Nachon, from Sfaradim, Ashkenazim, Yemenites, whatever. And Baruch Hashem, I'm already second generation. Nachon, my parents both were born in Morocco. I was born in Israel. And my kids, they're like everything together. And all of my kids' friends, they're Israelis. They're not Sfaradi or Ashkenazi. They're Israelis. So Be'emet, I think that in our generation, that Baruch Hashem, we're Israelis, we can also have halakha of Eretz Israel. And I think this is one of the things that Rav Ovadia really wanted to happen, and it didn't happen in his time, that Rav Ovadia said today that we have Jews coming to Israel from all over the world. There's no need to keep the traditions or the specific minhagim from Ashkenaz, from Poland, from Morocco, from Mitzrayim, from Iraq. What we need is one halakha for all. And one halakha for all, everyone should do the Shulchan Aruch. So of course, Rav Ovadia got a lot of objections from both sides, both from Ashkenazim that said, but you're erasing all of our traditions. And both from Sfaradim. For example, I grew up in a Moroccan house and my dad was completely against Rav Ovadia because my dad said, I want to do the specific minhagim that comes from Morocco. And the specific minhagim from Morocco, Rav Ovadia wants to erase them. I don't want to erase them. I want to do whatever my father did and whatever my grandfather did. And I understand that. Be'emet, I identify with it and I understand it. But I think it's a balance in between keeping the traditions that we have from all different countries in the world into having halakha, which will be halachat Eretz Israel, which will be according to Shulchan Aruch. So slicha, that was a apprentice, how do you say it? Sograim. And now let's go back to the footnote of Rav Ovadia Yosef. So you can see, so in the footnote, he's saying, it's not that we go according to the Beit Yosef, that we're going according to Shulchan Aruch in Ilchot Tahara, in all of Halacha, but we're going to the Shulchan Aruch. It's not only that, but what I want to tell you that we don't accept the assumption that Ilchot Tahara are part of Isurei Arayot. It's not part of Isurei Arayot. It's part of Isur Veheter. And he's saying all the Chumrot, everything that they are saying to do more severe, it's only coming from the perception that Hilchot Tahara are part of Arayot, and Rav Ovadia is disagreeing with the basic assumption that Hilchot Tahara are part of Arayot. So this is the footnote he wrote here, and here it's a whole shiur by itself. If you want, it's a different hour and a half to go over and to understand the disagreement between the Ben Ish Chai and Rav Ovadia Yosef. Are Tahara a part of Arayot or not part of Arayot? Here, Rav Ovadia is giving his Hishtalshelut Hilchatit and trying to convince us that that Nida is not part of Arayot. And he's also bringing other rabbis that thinks like him throughout the generation. Shut Bet Shlomo, Nida lo chashiva davar shebe'erva, meaning it's not part of Arayot. And so on and so forth. Nida lo have davar sheba'erva, and this is it's a whole argument, halachic discussion, which is, I think, I find it very interesting. This is a picture of Rav Ovadia with Margalit, his wife. This is Adina when she was a young kid, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, this is Yaakov. No, it's Yitzchak, the older one. It's Yitzchak. So Adina and Yitzchak and Rav Ovadia, when they were a young couple. There's so many stories also about Margalit, his wife, how righteous she was and how she convinced him to learn Torah, even though they didn't have money. and she understood the value of his learning, of his writing, and she kept the kids always quiet to make sure. Adina is saying how they used to play under the table in the kitchen. The mom would be in the kitchen and all the kids would be under the table in the kitchen playing so that Abba will have quiet in order to write Torah. Rav Ovadia and Margalit had 11 kids. Margalit passed away at a young age, and Rav Ovadia writes about her and talks about her a lot, and he didn't want to remarry after she passed. The second topic that I wanted in the 10 minutes that I have, the second topic that I wanted to show you, that I wanted to talk about, is Rav Ovadia, love of Am Yisrael, and Rav Ovadia perception of Shabbat, and what we called Shomrei Shabbat v'Zochrei Shabbat. I grew up in a shul, in my shul, in my parents' shul, not 20 years ago, 3 years ago. I went to my mom for Yom Kippur, and in the middle of Tfilat Ne'ilah, I don't know if you can imagine, I'm at the second floor of a huge Moroccan shul, 200 people. I'm in the second floor with my mom at the women gallery, and the dead silence, nachon, Ne'ilah, everyone are quiet, crying, davening, Tfilat Shmona Esre. And all of a sudden, in the middle of Shmona Esre, of Ne'ilah, of Yom Kippur, mamash half an hour before the fast ends, all of a sudden, there's a ringtone of a phone, a song by Omer Adam. And everyone is like opening their eyes and looking around them. And one of the people from the shul said, oh, slicha, I forgot to put my phone on silent. He takes out his phone, puts it on silent, and puts it back in the bag. And everyone are just davening. And this is the shul. I think this is the Sephardi perception of a shul, meaning the doors of the shuls are open. We have, in my parents' shul, we have people that are parking their bike at the entrance. They have like this electrical bike. They're parking them at the entrance of the shul. They're taking out the kippah from the pocket of the jeans. They're putting it on their head and they go in. You don't have to be religious in order to go to shul. You don't have to be religious in order to do kiddush. All of my family, they're doing kiddush. They're having a family meal. And then they would go out. And they don't see a contradiction. This is the whole Masorati movement. And I think what's beautiful is that Rav Ovadia brought this whole Masorati movement into halakha. So I wanted to show you. This is the Bechor Shor, Hariba Shal HaTorah. He's talking about the book of Shmot. Zachor et Yom HaShabbat, when it says Shamor v'Zachor et Yom HaShabbat. So the Ribash is asking, what does it mean to remember Shabbat? We have to keep Shabbat. Why do we need to remember Shabbat? Hevu zehirim lizkor et Shabbat. You should be careful to remember Shabbat. You have to count the days of the week so that you won't replace Shabbat in a different day. Don't by mistake do Shabbat on a Monday. So you have to be very careful to remember Shabbat, because by till now in the desert, you didn't have to, because the amount of the man that came down from the sky would let you know that it's about to be Shabbat and then that it's Shabbat. But now that you're going to go into Israel, into the land of Israel, you're not going to have any reminder. So please notice, and this is why the Torah is saying, Zachor v'shamor, you have to keep the Shabbat, but you also have to remember Shabbat. Because by remembering Shabbat, you'll remember that you're testifying that I have created the world and that I've rested on Shabbat. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Am Yisrael. By remembering Shabbat, you are testifying that I've created the world and I've rested on Shabbat. So this is the Ribash. And here we have Rav Melamed. He's talking about the Chor v'Shamor, how important it is, how it conveyed the two pillars of Emunah, to remember Shabbat and to keep Shabbat, and it has to go together. Beautiful. Rambam. Okay, it's about Yen Nesech. I'm not going to go into that. Why I brought it? Because the shoot that Rav Ovadia is writing is referring to Yen Nesech. I'm going to talk very general about Yen Nesech. Yen Nesech is wine that Christians would use in their Avodah Zarah. As part of their ceremony, they would pour the wine, or they would drink the wine, or they would do something with the wine, and then they would give it to someone else to drink, and you're actually drinking wine that was part of Avodah Zarah. And therefore, we have a Isur, it's forbidden to drink wine that was used for Avodah Zarah. This is the Enesech. But there's an addition. Chachamim gave another restriction, not to drink wine from Bichlal, people who are not Jewish. And this is called Stam Yeinan, meaning this is not wine that was used specifically for Avodah Zarah, but this is wine that was made or used or touched by a non-Jew. And why is it not allowed to drink it, according to Chachamim, according to the Rabbanan? Because you don't know what this non-Jew, what thoughts he had in mind when he was cooking the wine. You don't know if he meant to do it for Avodah Zarah or not. And in order to take a step back from Avodah Zarah, you're not allowed to drink wine that was used for Avodah Zarah. That's obvious, that's Torah. But Chachamim said, you're also not allowed to drink Stam Yeinan, meaning wine that was by non-Jews. Shulchan Aruch, Abet Yosef, saying that, but in addition, he's saying, Meshumad lechalel Shabbatot befaresia, or she'eno ma'amin bedivrei rabotenu umin, ve'eno yein nesech. Meaning, whoever doesn't keep Shabbat in public, or he doesn't believe in Torah shebe'alpe, you're not allowed to drink his wine, because it is just like Stam Yeinan. It's just like wine that was held by a non-Jew. So he's putting all, I think most of Am Yisrael, he's putting together in a category of non-Jews. And that's why you're not allowed to drink wine that a not religious person or a person who doesn't keep Shabbat in public, meaning on purpose, he doesn't keep Shabbat. He knows that it's Shabbat today and still he chose to go to the beach. Then it's problematic according to the Bet Yosef. But Rav Ovadia here disagree. And this is what Rav Ovadia is saying. I saw, this is already a Shut Minchat Eliezer, Atzitz Eliezer, he's writing, how can you keep Shabbat half? You can't keep half a Shabbat. Like I would imagine him talking to my cousins. How can you do Kiddush and then go into your car? It doesn't work. You either keep Shabbat or you don't keep Shabbat. What does it mean that you're doing Kiddush and then you're going out? So why are you doing Kiddush for? And if you are doing Kiddush and you understand the value of Kiddush and it's important for you and that's why you're doing Kiddush, so how come you're going into the car? You can't keep half a Shabbat. And then Rav Ovadia is saying, Ve'en dvarav muchrachim. It's not necessarily. Why can't you have half a Shabbat? Shesof sof eno dome kol kach lekofer b'maaseh bereshit. It is not like someone who is saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't created heaven and earth. It's not like saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't exist. It's not like an atheist. Shezehu ikar ha'ta'am shedin mechalel Shabbat ke'akum. Meaning, the person that the Bet Yosef is writing about, that you're not allowed to drink his wine, even though that he's Jewish, because he's not keeping Shabbat in public, it's the kind of person that doesn't believe at all that Hashem created the world, that Hashem is watching over the world, that Hashem is present in the world. He doesn't believe in anything at all. And this is what Bet Yosef is referring to. Kmo shekatav Rashi in the Gemara, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to get into it. ואתו נדרוש מדעותינו לומר כל שאינו בשמירה אינו בזכירה לא קיים אף מצוות זכירת שבת בדברים. But how can we say that if you don't keep Shabbat, you don't remember Shabbat? You can remember that it's Shabbat today and not keep it. And this is how Rav Ovadia is creating, I would say, a category that never existed in Halakha beforehand. Ha vaday de lo, of course not. אם נסכים לבייש לאנשים הללו, אם חס וחלילה, we will be will agree to disgrace those people and to disrespect those people, ולהלבין פניהם ברבים, and to shame them in public, לאסור היין במגעם. Can you imagine me sitting together with my family and telling my cousin, no, you touched the wine, I can't drink it right now. I would never do such a thing, נכון? כאילו נשפח דמם על ידי זה. It's like shaming them. ויפקרו לגמרי. So what it will cause them? It will cause my cousin to say, so you don't accept me. You're not going to drink my wine. You are thinking of me as if I'm a non-Jew. So I don't want to be at all, nothing. So I'm not even going to do the kiddush. ויעברו על כל המצוות שבתורה. So they're not going to do anything from the Torah. וידינו שפכו את הדם הזה חס וחלילה. And it will be our responsibility that instead of bringing them closer, we're pushing them away. שהיה, כמו שכתב הגאון יבץ, שהיה מסביר פנים למגלחי זקנים בתא, שהרב יבץ, he was talking to people and he was nice to people that used to shave with a knife. And even though he knew, Rav Yavetz knew that it was not allowed halachically to shave for men with a knife, he said, this generation, everyone are doing it. If I'm going to disrespect them, I'm only going to push them further away. I don't want to push them further away. ויש לחשוש שיצאו לגמרי מן הדת. By that, I'm going to cause them just to be non-religious. And it's a contradicting. It's not what I want to do. I want to bring them closer. I want to show them how beautiful Torah is. I want to show them how beautiful HaKadosh Baruch Hu is and how important it is to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life. So I don't want to push them away. I want to push them close. ועל ידי התקרבות, that was Rav Ovadia. Here I have Rav Benny talking about the importance of what Rav Ovadia said. You have it in your page.
Shira, I am going to interrupt. I'm sorry. I think what we'll do is I wrote down all the questions. I think next week we can start. You can go a little bit later. Rabbi Israel is finishing his course today, so next week we won't have the limitation if you want, but maybe we can take a few of the questions at the beginning of the class that I marked down from in the chat box, and you can say a few words on Rabbi Ovadia before you start, if that works. So I apologize for the delay at the beginning. But
no, sure. Okay. So that about for the extension. I'm sorry for being a bit late.
No,
and I would love to answer all of the questions.
Yeah. So I saved the chat. I'll send it to you. I'll speak to you about it. And then we can pick up on that next week. Okay, so let's take a 5-minute break, everybody. And Rabbi Israel will be starting on the last of his 7-part series on Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. He'll be discussing today the Koran, Siddur, and Machzor. And Covenant and Conversation, his books on Parshat HaShavua. So more of the books related to a specifically Jewish audience. So that will start in 5-6 minutes. And Shira, it's good. If you want to hear more, you'll have to come back next week. So it's always good to leave people hanging in the middle. So, Bakasha.
Toda rabba, everyone.
Okay.
Thank you.
See you next week. Bezrat Hashem.
Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. We'll see you all soon, and take a little break.